So we were in the middle of Reba Shur. So let's just look back at the Gemara here. So we're on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, like two-thirds down the page. So the Gemara had said, Tana Rabbanan ain ofen mi Yom Tov l'chaveiro. You can't cook from Yom Tov to the next day of Yom Tov. V'emen amru m'mala isha kol kadeira basar. But even though you can't cook from one day to the other, a woman can fill up the pot with meat. Aval b'shein atzricha l'chaticha achad, even though she only needs one piece. The baker can fill up the water. Yeah, someone came in. The water.
I also parked in front.
Okay. The can fill up the water urn, even though you only need one cup of water. But when you're baking, and each loaf of bread is an atomic unit, right? So it doesn't actually improve the other bread, so then you can't bake them together. A woman can even fill up the whole oven with bread, because bread bakes better when it's full. And we saw already last week that there was a machlokas we showed him whether it bakes better because it makes the oven hotter or it makes it less hot. Amar Rava halacha kirishim ben Elazar, and we paskin like Rishim ben Elazar that you can even fill up the oven with bread. So we noted last week that there are two types of questions we have to ask on this sugya. One are the external questions, right? How do we fit the rules of Reba Shurim that are found in this Gemara with all the other cases of Reba Shurim and Shas, most of, basically, which deal with Pikuach Nefesh? That was question one, or set of questions one. And the second questions are the internal questions, is how do you understand this principle of Reba Shurim being Mutar and Yom Tov, and how do we understand the transition from stage one to two to three, from meat to water, to bread, and the machlokas about bread. So last week we dealt with the external questions, but just to summarize so that we have our bearings. So if you look at the sources, we can just run back through them, right? So we have a few about pikuach nefesh. The Gemara makes it clear that by pikuach nefesh, for cooking, if you cook for a chola, you cook for a sick person, so then the healthy person cannot eat it. Because he might add food to the pot for it. So from here you clearly see that Ribu Shiurim on Shabbos is Usur. The next source in two, also dealing with Pikuach Nevesh, but in this case not with cooking, but with you need grapes, you need figs off of a tree, and you have the choice of more than one branch to cut off. So the Gemara has a diyun. Let's say you need two figs, and you have a choice between one branch with three, or two branches each with one. So which do you do? There the Gemara says, obviously, you cut the one with three, because ribui shiurin, in terms of the result, having one extra is less egregious than doing multiple acts of cutting. But the Gemara still seems to assume that if the choice was between one branch of two and one branch of three, that it would be usher to cut the one of three, right? It's only because the choice is between more malacha or ribu shiurim that we opt for ribu shiurim. And the third one, this is also pikuach nevesh, but this same pikuach nevesh with amir lenachri, where the Gemara says that if you need warm water in order to perform a bris and the water had spilled, so now you need to cook water on Shabbos, so you ask the mother, who's defined as someone who's in a situation of pikuach nefesh, because she's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and if the mother needs water, so you can cook more water for the baby using a non-Jew. So in the case of pikuach nefesh plus Amir Lenachri, then we say that Ribu Shiurim is Mutter. So we have Pikuach Nefesh, Ribu Shiurim is Aser, Ribu Shiurim, Pikuach Nefesh with Amir Lenachri is Mutter, and in our Gemara, Ribu Shiurim on Yom Tov is Mutter. So the question is, how do you deal with all the sources, right? What is the guiding principle? So we had two basic approaches. The Rajba said that Ribu Shiurim D'Oraisa, on a biblical level, Ribu Shiurim is Mutter, period. Right, it is always mutter to add, because the isser is to do a malacha, and once the malacha is mutter, So then you can add, as long as you don't have to do, a second act of melacha. That's d'oraisa. D'rabanan, we forbid ribui shiurim, but since it's d'rabanan, so we split it. If it's Shabbos, which is a chiyuv skila, so then we forbid ribui shiurim. If it's Shabbos plus amir l'nachri, which is d'rabanan, so then we permit ribui shiurim. Yom Tov, which is only an Isser Lav, so we permit ribui shiurim. We draw the line at skila, and that was the Rashba. It's all d'rabanan, and we distinguish between machmir, between stringent isurim, and less stringent isurim, and that's all there is to it. The Ran, in 5, said no. The Ran said it depends. Ribui shiurim will be permitted in cases where the prohibition is hutra, right? Ceases to exist, no longer exists. And then, if the prohibition no longer exists, so then you can add when you're doing the act. So on Yom Tov, he says that there is no prohibition to cook, and therefore, once you're cooking, right, and you need it for Yom Tov, meaning, I should change that, cooking for Yom Tov is permitted, and therefore, once you're cooking for Yom Tov, which is totally permitted, you're not being matir and iser, it's just totally permitted, so then you can add to the pot, that's fine. Now, I would just add, and we didn't flesh this out last week, this notion of hutra and dechuya being the two categories, that when you have an isser that you now need to suspend or put aside, that there's two formulations. There's dechuya, which means that the act is forbidden, but there's a reason to permit it. So the isser remains in abeyance, but you have to contend with it. That's dechuya. And therefore, you always have to minimize the prohibition because it's hanging over you, and you always have to deal with it. Hutra is normally understood to be that we totally wipe it away, so you don't really have to contend with it. Rav Lichtenstein, when he gave shir on Ochel Nevesh, noted there's really a third category, which is what he called Lo Nemra, that the Isser never existed to begin with. And he argued that for the Ramban, and the Ran in Sanhedrin actually says this as well, Ochel Nevesh isn't just Hutra, it's Lo Nemra. The Ramban's formulation is that, essentially, Shabbos has 39 malachot, and Yom Tov has 33 malachot, let's say. Right? And all the malachot that relate to Ochel Nevesh, what?
I think it's 35. I think there's 4 that he said is...
Well, different Rishonim, different points, but Bishul, depending on how you count it,
yeah.
Right? It's Bishul, it's Havara, it's... it's Havara, Hotza'ah, yeah. Right? And then Lisha, or is anything post-Lisha, whatever it is, depending where you draw the line, right? The Yerushalmi draws it one place. I mean, Tosfos thinks totally not that way. Tosfos is Matir Bona, right? Because since making cheese, according to the Gemara, is Bona, so Tosfos in Shabbat Sadiheh says that Bona is Derabanan on Yom Tov. Okay, whatever. Whatever, however many malachos it is, there are not 39 malachos. It's Lo Nemra, right? So, now the obvious question, if it's Lo Nemra, then how can you say that it's Aser to cook for the day after Yom Tov, or to cook for a goy? So Tosfos in Beitza Daf Yud Bet, and this is elaborated at length in the Tshuvos Avnei Miluim Tshuva Bet, says it's very simple. It's a new Isser, right? It's not the Isser of Bishul, like the Malacha of Bishul. It's a new Isser called cooking for a goy on Yom Tov, or cooking for Chol on Yom Tov. It's some other Isser. That's what you're going to have to say. But the Ran, now coming back to it, says that on Yom Tov, it is completely mutter, either hutra or lo nemra, to cook on Yom Tov. And therefore, once you're cooking for Yom Tov, so adding food to the pot is fine, because it's mutter. You don't have to contend with the Isser. Once this is called cooking for Yom Tov, so it's totally mutter. There's no Isser hanging over your head, so just cook. Big deal. Add more to the pot. Who cares? Shabbos, he says, is dichuya. Eitzel pikuach nefesh, that even when someone's life is at stake, and it is permitted, in fact obligatory, to violate Shabbos to save the person's life, it's still only dechuya, and therefore you have to contend with the Isser hanging over your head, and if you have to contend with the Isser hanging over your head, so then you have to minimize the quantity of Isser, because, right, that Isser is staring you in the face, right? Every, you know, half step you make, right, it's just staring, right, just staring at you and saying, why are you doing this? You only need to do X, why are you doing X plus 1 or X plus 0.1, it doesn't matter. The second you add what you don't need, that's going to be prohibited. So that's how the Ran conceptualizes the difference. And as we noted last week, this depends on assuming that that Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya as opposed to Hutra, which itself is a huge machlokes haposkim. Some people think that this is a machlokas that has a lot of nafkaminas. Rabbi Avadia has a very, very, very long tshuva on Yabi Omer where he claims this. Rabbi Asher Weiss notes that there is basically no nafkamina at all. It's a very nice theoretical machlokas, but since in Pikuach Nefesh, at least, we paskin that afilu svek sveka of Pikuach Nefesh is docha Shabbos, how often is there going to be a difference, right? Meaning, sure, it's dechuya, but... Right, we say that even the Svek Sveka is Doche, so it may not make any difference except in very, very limited circumstances.
But don't people do like Shinui and the doctor?
The difference would be a Shinui where it makes no difference. Because if a Shinui would slow you down, so according to everybody, you shouldn't do a Shinui. Right, so it's a Shinui in a case where it couldn't possibly slow you down. That's the Nafkamina. Right, but since most cases are not like that, and on a Daraisa, right, so... You know, how many times is this happening, right? If you're doing a stitch, you're stitching someone up to save their life, you're not stitching with your weaker hand. That just doesn't, right? It's not going to work. And if you're, you know...
Even the stitching, right? If it's not on the clock, anyway.
Whatever it is. I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman actually thinks that stitching, we could apply Ribush Yerim to also, but whatever. Okay. Another story. But
how does the Ron explain Ribush Yerim with regards to Amir Lakum?
Ah, so by Amir Lakum, he just says the reason there it's mutter is because since Amir, right, that was the last part, because Amir Lenachri is only Darabanan. So by Darabanans, right, we're matir it completely for Pikuach Nefesh. Right, so.
Even the Ron says that, he says.
Yeah, right, I mean, the Ron is contending with it.
Of Dichli?
No, because, right, once you, right, yeah, I mean, it's his last line, right? Lufiza haide irvin dafka yide nachri, right? That's different, right? D'araisis, you couldn't, but d'rabanans. So sure, doing it through a goy, right? That would be the last stage here. A goy, pikuach nefesh, so that's hutra, right? Because it's a goy, it's d'rabanan to begin with. Okay, so that's where we were last week. Now, to flesh out the Ron a little bit, look at 6 and 7 here. So the Chassam Sofer, He doesn't quite understand the Ron. He says like this: Mamala Isha Kolok De Rabasar. I am Ashkos of Ron. Mashashim De Nechem Agav Imaya De Akum Sarchi. And he says, the Ron in the end says, right? He relates to the case in Eruvin that for the child who's gathering the bris mila, you're allowed to cook it through the non-Jew with a right Amir Lanachre. Fine. Says Sarchi Inzad Kaven De Marba B'Shiura De Oraisa. I'm Ken Amir Lakum Heve Rak Shvus Achas. He said, I don't understand. If the reason it's mutter in Eruvin is because it's done through a non-Jew, and pikuach nefesh through a non-Jew is mutter, is hutra, so then why does the Gemara seem to combine, first ask the mother, and then... have the guy do it for the mother and be marbashirim that way. Just say, we need to do a bris milah, and once we do the bris milah, it'll be pikuach nefesh, and it's only derabanan anyways because it's a guy. Right? Why do you need a combination of going for the mother, making it pikuach nefesh now, plus guy? Say it's guy plus tzorech milah. Right? Tzorech mitzvah. Right? Amir l'nachri for a mitzvah might be mutter to begin with. Right? And if ribu, and right, it's ribu shiurim on a derabanan l'tzorech mitzvah. Like, I don't understand. Why do you need it? But why do you need this combination?
You want the water hot before you do the bris mila.
Okay, so and do it before. So don't say pikuach nefesh. So say it's amir l'nachri b'mako mitzvah. Right? It's ribu shiurim al yidei amir l'nachri l'tzorech mitzvah. Right, he doesn't understand. Once it's derabanan, so waive it. Right, what is it you need pikuach nefesh plus the derabanan? Right, why do you need both? Now it could just be, the answer could just be that the R Rishonim who think, and if you look at Tosos in Gittin Daf Ches, which discusses this, the R Rishonim who think that Amir Lenachri is only mutter letzorach mitzvah betray derabanan. Right, that it has to be a goy doing a derabanan for a mitzvah, for it to be mutter. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, if the Ron held like that sheet and Rishonim, then this is not a question. Right? Now, there are other Rishonim hold all the way to the opposite extreme, which is, as soon as the Tzorach mitzvah, you can do Amir L'Nachri straight, which is the Bala Eter, which the Ramah quotes, which could be why the Chacham Sofer is influenced a bit, but the Chacham Sofer tends to take anything in the Ramah, right, as Psak, and the Ramah happens to Paskin like the Eter. But It could just be that the Ran doesn't hold that way, that he holds that you need trei derabanan plus tzorach mitzvah to be matrit. But let's just see his answer. So he answers, but tzorach lomar, nihid mi d'araiso mikol makom eino dome lemevashel b'kedera b'fnei atzmo d'marba b'shirem have a kmo chatzi shir be'ichos hamelacha. So he has this very interesting formulation, right? He says, He says it must be, right, that the Ran isn't comfortable simply waving a Darabanan, waving a Mir L'Nachri when he's doing a Daraisa for a mitzvah, right? He admits that in the answer, right? It must be that it's Daraisa, right? The act that's being done is Daraisa, so the Ran doesn't hold presumably like the Itzer, and therefore he thinks you do have to contend with it. But wait a second. If that's the case, so then how do we split the, right? Why are we splitting it that once you do it, Ribui Shiurim plus, right? What? How does he formulate it, right? He doesn't let you do it straight, but he lets you, when you add it to Pikuach Nefesh. So what exactly is the formulation? So he says like this. He says, look, if you cook in a separate pot, so then it would be Bishul, right? Al Yedei, Goy, so it would be a full malacha al yedei amir l'nachri. But if you do it, well, okay, you know what, let me clarify the Chassam Sofer's question. The Chassam Sofer's question goes like this. If the Ran thinks that ribui shiurim is equal to malacha, then what difference does it make whether you are mosif for the mother or you do it separately? Either way, you're having a goy do a malacha de'oraisa. Right, that's really his question, right?
His question isn't, what do you need the mother for?
Right, meaning...
Why bring in the mother at all?
No, right. Why do you need her, or what does it help? Uh-huh. Right, meaning, if the Ran thinks that Rivu Shirim is De'araisa, meaning that when I cook extra quantitatively, it is considered Bishul De'araisa, so then, if the Goy were to cook straight for the baby, it would be Amir L'Nachri and Bishul De'araisa. If the Goy cooks for the mother and adds to the pot, it's also Amir L'Nachri on Bishul de'araisa. So what have you gained, right? If the Ran thinks, for the Rajba, I understand, ribui shiurim is derabanan, and cooking in a separate pot is de'araisa. So the difference between case one and case two is amir l'nachri and a derabanan versus amir l'nachri and a de'araisa. But according to the Ran, both ribui shiurim or cooking in a separate pot are de'araisa. So both cases are amir l'nachri and a de'araisa. So why do you need the mother? What does it help you? Both of them are the same. So he answers, again, Eino domem elamavashal b'keder b'fnei atzma demarba b'shiurim have a kemochatzi shir b'eichos hamelacha. Right? So he's mechadesh as follows, and he says, it's true that cooking in a separate pot is daraisa, and cooking in the same pot, ribashurim, is daraisa. But they're different daraisas. Because what did we think? We thought ribashurim was basically, I'm just cooking less, right? So, sure, I'm cooking a little bit less, right? If I just add a little bit to the mother's water, then if I have to cook up a whole nother pot, right? If, in order for the pot not to burn, right, and the water not to evaporate, so I need to put a little more water than I might need for the pikuach nefesh, right? So it's a question of maybe a little bit of quantity, but according to that, it wouldn't make a difference. So he says, no, that's not what's going on. It's rivashurim for the Ran is asur mida araisa. But it's a chatzi shir, right? What's a chatzi shir? So he says chatzi shir be'echos. What's a chatzi shir be'echos? Right? It's a iser daraisa, but it's a be'echos is quality, right? It's a qualitatively different iser. It's a half iser. It's aser mi daraisa, but only, you know, it's a medium level iser.
What's the punishment?
None. Presumably, right? Chatzi shir, right? I assume that's what he's getting at, right? Is that the Gemara, as the Gemara says, chatzi shir is also midaraisa with no onesh, right? So that tells you it's more makil, it's more lenient. So he says, ribushurim is usur, but just like if I cooked on Shabbos half of a shir, it would be usur midaraisa with no onesh, so it's a half, somewhere in the middle. Let's say I would cook 10 shiurim, but it was only in a case of ribui shiurim. That would also be what he calls chatzi shir, because In the end of the day, yes, Ribushim is also Midaraisa, but I'm not doing a new act of cooking. So it's not quite as egregious as cooking, right? Qualitatively, it's not as bad as turning on the flame to cook a new pot. So yes, it's also Midaraisa, but not as egregiously bad as cooking something new. And if that's the case, so what did you gain? So if you cook it in a separate pot, it's a full cooking, al yidei goy. If you cook it for the mother, it's a half cooking, right? It's a poultry cooking.
So what's the difference? But it still doesn't answer the difference between that, doing it for the kid or doing it for the mother.
No, so he says if we do it for the mother, so then it's a chatzi shir plus goy.
Right.
So it's a mir lenachri on a quasi iser d'oraisa.
Right.
Which is not as egregious as an Amir al-Nachri on a full Isser d'Oraisa.
But it's still a mitzvah, but what about the concept?
So he doesn't hold like the Itzer. Right? I mean, the answer is still going to have to be he doesn't hold like the Itzer.
Right.
Right? The Itzer would say it doesn't matter because Amir al-Nachri, and the Itzer has a lot of trouble with this Gemara. Right? The Itzer, Yeah, the Itzer has trouble with this Gemara, right? Because why do you have to do Agavime? Just do it for the baby.
Right.
Why did Chatzishir again because you split the water for the mom and for the baby?
No, right. Because that's what he says, chatzishir be'echos, not be'kamos, right? Be'echos. That it's a qualitatively different type of iser. He says, right, what's the difference? He says, ribui shiurim might be asur midaraisa, but there's still a fundamental difference between turning on a new pot and adding to an existing pot. And even if they're both asur, one of them is qualitatively less egregious because you're not doing a new act. Right, you're just adding to a pre-existing malacha, which is usher, even biblically, but not as bad. And the rule on Shabbos always is hakal akal, right? That we always try to go for the less bad isser, right? So what he's saying is, look, ribui shiurim is usher midaraisa, and so is cooking in a separate pot. But ribui shiurim is a half, it's the difference between like homicide and manslaughter, right? They're on the same spectrum, right? But they're fundamentally different, right? That yes, in both of them there is some criminal activity that leads to somebody else's death, but one of them is defined as homicide and one of them is defined as manslaughter, right? And we understand that they're actually qualitatively different, right? They're on the same scale but qualitatively different. So he says the same thing is true here. Ribui shiurim is usur. Right, it's criminal activity which leads to Chilul Shabbos, but it's manslaughter, not homicide. So he said, if I have the choice between ribui shiurim al yidei goy and bishul in a separate pot al yidei goy, you know, maybe I should stick away from the murder one. But
is this a chiddushic idea in this context?
Yeah, that's chatzishir. I never heard of
it's
that.
Not really a chatzishir, but it's like a less serious.
Using the term isha here, and the term term should be pikuach nefesh. In other words, you keep on talking about it like you're doing it for the isha, and versus the child who's not pikuach nefesh yet.
Right. It's not pikuach nefesh for the child yet.
Right. Correct. So it's not.
Correct. So it's ribui shiurim on a case of pikuach nefesh.
Right. Okay. So forget the word term isha and just use the term pikuach nefesh for a second.
So it's ribui shiurim on a
case. So he's saying that you're using the goy to boil the water for the person, for pikuach nefesh, for a sick person, whoever.
Correct.
It is. Okay. And since that's being done by heter, it's better to do it for the child at this time instead of waiting and doing a separate pot at another time when he is pikuach nefesh.
Correct.
Okay. So that's the chatzishir. In other words,
right, but chatzishir, but as he's saying, but still, right, but what he's saying is that if it was ribui shiurim, if ribui shiurim was equivalent to bishul, right, that in our heads, when I do ribui shiurim, I would imagine it as the woman who was pikuach nefesh already needed, you know, whatever, half a liter,
right,
and the child needs a quarter of a liter. So it's as if I cooked one pot of half a liter, and then I took another pot out and cooked a quarter liter. So he says, if that's what it is, if ribui shiurim is that in my mind, I divide it. The heter is being cooked, and the iser is being cooked separately. So then, what difference is it if I just tell the guy, cook for the baby? Because if I tell him, cook for the baby, so then he's cooking the quarter pot. But if ribui shiurim were just that I actually say it's as if I cook two separate pots, so then it would make no difference. Tell the guy to cook the quarter liter or tell him to cook three quarters of a liter. Who cares? It's the same thing halachically. He's saying, no, it's not. Right? Because Ribui Shurim might be Asur Midaraisa, but we don't, it's not Asur because it's as if I cooked two separate pots and did two malachos. No, it's a Chatzi Shir Be'echos. It's a lesser Isser, right? The adding of that extra quarter thing, right, is a lesser Isser. So yes, it's an Isser Daraisa because it's not yet Pikoch Nevesh for the child.
So Chatzi Shir is not really Chatzi Shir. It's, as you said, it's a lesser...
Exactly, it's a lesser Isser.
Is there anything like that? Besides
well, that's always the question in Chatzi Shir itself. The Chakira in Chatzi Shir
right.
is that, right? Is Chatzi Shir simply, when we say Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah,
right.
does that mean that it's basically the full Isser minus Onesh?
Right.
Or is it that no, when you don't have the Shir, the Isser itself is lacking, and that's why you don't get an Onesh, right? The Nafka Mina, right, so to speak, that the Ramban brings in the Shara Meichush, in Shara Sakana, is in the Tars Adam, is as follows. I'll never forget this year. Rav Lichtenstein was giving this year, but it was the night we had a mishmar in yeshiva it was the 40th anniversary of yeshiva, so we divided yeshiva into three, like the 40 years of yeshiva into three, and it was the second mishmar, so it was 13 years worth of yeshiva and yeshiva, but it was the night of the Merkaz HaRav murder, and one of the fathers of the kids was there in yeshiva, and Rilchenstein was giving the shir when this happened, right? So this was like, no, right after it happened, right? Like he said, before, after. So, but Rilchenstein would go, you know, after the Tehillim and the, you know, the crying, the shir l'zecher nishmasam, I think, or whatever it was. So this was, I still remember Rilchenstein saying this Ramban. So the Ramban has the following chakira. In Torah Sa'adam, since the halacha is hakal hakal, right, that if, when you're going to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nevesh, you always try to do it in the less chomer way. So let's say someone needs to eat to save his life, and he has, well, forget Shabbos, in general, Pikuach Nevesh, we always do Hakal Hakal. So let's say someone has to eat a cheeseburger or Tarfus. So which does he eat? He eats Tarfus, because Basar B'Chalav is a more chomer Isser, because it's Asr B'Hana'ah. That's the halacha. So Ramban says, what if he only has to eat Chatzi Shir? Right, he just needs a tiny little bit. So then, is there a nafkamina between whether he eats chatzi shir of basar b'chalav or chatzi shir of treifa, or is there no difference once you're eating chatzi shir? And it hangs on this question, right? How do you understand chatzi shir? If chatzi shir is just half of the other iser, just not enough to get the onesh, then chatzi shir of basar b'chalav is still worse than chatzi shir of treifa. But if you say no, chatzi shir is fundamentally lacking, right? It's a different Isser. It's like, you know, there's Basar B'Chalav, and then there's Chatzi Shir. There's this amorphous thing of rebelling against God, which is not quite an Isser, but it's, you know, somewhere in between. Then it could be there's no difference between Basar B'Chalav and Tarfus, because until you reach Shir, right, Chatzi Shir is something else. It's qualitatively different, right? Is it just, right, not enough to get a Shir, but it's the same minus in quantity, or is it lacking in quality? Right, so that was the suffix of the Ramban. So, the question of whether there's such a thing as Chatzi Shir Be'echos is actually the question in Chatzi Shir always. It may even be a machlokas in the Gemara. There are mashmaos like that in the Gemara. Okay. So that's the Chum Sofer's clarification of the position of the Ran. Right, that even according to the Ran, when we say, Ribui Shurim is Asur Midaraisa, it's not Asur, it's not a new Bishul, it's a qualitatively less Isser, it's an Isser Daraisa, but a lesser one. Okay, the Sfas Emes just doesn't like the Ran. He doesn't get it. And he says, V'tamahani al Ran. I don't understand it. D'mati mayonuz. I don't understand. What is he comparing these cases? He said, look. Vada ilu tzarech legagaras echoru meli shtayim loke came to ein ba'uka tasheni tzarech lechole. It's for sure. If you only need one, you know, fig, and you cut two, so you get... I don't know why he says Malkus. Whatever. You get Malkus. Okay, I don't know why Malkus and not Misa, but whatever. Came into Ein Bu'okas Hasheni Tzorach L'chola. Because the second one you don't need for the chola at all. Maybe he's saying it's in Yom Tov. I don't know. Aval Ilu Tzorach Shtei Gargaras V'yei Shtayim Bu'okas Echad V'hu Lakach Shnayim V'ez Oksin Nir Deino Loke V'kol Shkenein U'chayv Chatas. He said, but what happens if you had two fig branches, each with one, or one fig branch with two, and you needed two. So, in a hanami, you're not supposed to take two, but if you do take two, you're not chayv and onesh. Why? Because in the end of the day, they were both pikuach nefesh. You needed two. So, that may have been the worst way of doing it, but it's still not violation of Shabbos. Came to sof, elu ashnayim shvichan l'chol, because both of them are needed for the sick person. So, he says, I don't understand what the Ran is doing, because the Ran is comparing it to pikuach nefesh. But in pikuach nefesh, the rule is that even if I do more than I could have potentially done, as long as each act is justified as pikuach nefesh, in the end of the day, it was mutter. Maybe it was not ideal, but at the end of the day, it's mutter. As opposed to ribui shiurim here, which is, in fact, usur. Right? Or, sorry. Here, as opposed to ribui shiurim, on Shabbos, rather, like 3 versus 2, where we say it's, in fact, usur. But he's saying, they're not comparable, because pikuach nefesh, the real question you have to ask is very simple, which is this or is it not pikuach nefesh? As long as it's pikuach nefesh, you could even be mosif b'malachos, and it would still not be usur. Right? It wouldn't be ideal, but it wouldn't be usur. So that tells you that pikuach nefesh is a different type of a category, right? Where the only question you ask is this or is this not pikuach nefesh? Right? So, sure, ribu shirim is usur, but that's because it's not pikuach nefesh anymore. Right? Now, I don't know how good of a kasha is, because maybe that's what the Ran is saying. Right? The Ran is saying the reason that 3 versus 2 is usur, to the question you're asking is it pikuach nefesh or is it not pikuach nefesh? It's a technicality that if you cut 2 branches, each with 1, that you're not chayev, because in the end of the day, it's still dechuya, right? But it's, I don't know. The Ran doesn't he doesn't like it, but again, I don't know if it's a real kasha on the Ran. I think the answer for the Ran is, the way the Ran understands it, is in a chanami. What it means for something to be dechuya is that everything needs to be justified as pikuach nefesh. If you can't justify, it's usur. As opposed to Bishul on Yom Tov, you don't have to justify everything you do. Once this is not a Bishul for the wrong day, Ribui Shiurim is fine because it's Hutra. So I think the Tzvasem may just be pointing at the Pshat and the Ran. Okay, so that is the end of the Ran. Now let's move back to our Sugya. So as we said, there's still the internal questions in our Sugya to deal with. So just to remind ourselves, there are 3 stages in the Gemara.
Sorry, that's how you build a house.
Okay. Okay,
if you make extra, why is it not a chana?
Right, so did we get it to you yet? No. Simply, the fact that it's not a chana is probably because it's not considered a new act, right? But we'll try to answer it as we analyze the internal dynamics of the sugya. Okay, so the internal dynamics here of the sugya. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to cook the pot even if you only need one piece. You're allowed to cook the pot of water even if you only need one cup. And then as a machlokas about the baking, and then Rav Shimon ben Elazar, we paskin like says you're allowed to fill up the oven with bread because it makes the bread bake better. So now, the question that we have to ask is, okay, let's work backwards. What is the machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanakama? Or in other words, what is the justification that everybody agrees on by kedera, right, by the meat? So we have 2 possibilities. It could be that Rav Shimon ben Elazar teaches us what the dialogue was about from the beginning. Namely, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, why are you allowed to bake multiple loaves of bread even if you only need one? Because it makes it bake better. And why might the Chachamim argue on him? So he has 2 reasons, right? Why would they argue? Either it doesn't matter that it bakes better, right? That wasn't the nature of the heter to begin with. Or only meat cooks better when you have a lot of meat in it. But they deny his reality assessment, right? That baking multiple loaves of the bread in a oven makes it bake better. So in other words, why is it mutter to fill up the whole pot with meat? Is it because it makes it cook better, and therefore the machlokes is just a question of scale, right? Or a question of where you are on the spectrum, right? What do you think cooks better, bakes better? The Chum thing, it only applies to cooking, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar applies it to baking. Or is it, no, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is adding a new argument, Right? The Chachamim are saying you're allowed to cook multiple pieces of meat in the pot, not because it makes it cook better, but because, now what would the other option be?
It's less work.
Right, yeah, it's no difference. Right, it makes no difference. It's called tircha achas, right? The difference between baking and cooking is that cooking is one act halachically, baking is multiple acts. So baking, the only way to justify it is if I can justify it in terms of the original loaves of bread. Cooking, I don't need to justify it because it's one act. It's tircha achas, and it doesn't matter. Nafkamina would be, right? If it's about tircha achas, everyone would agree that you couldn't cook in two pots, right? You couldn't split it into two pots, right? That you obviously couldn't do. You couldn't say, look, I need, you know, a quart of soup. So what am I going to do? I'm going to imagine that I'll take two pots, I'm going to cook a quarter of, half a quart in this pot and half a quart in that pot, and then I'm going to add another quart into each pot because, you know, each of them are ribui shiurim. You can't do that because, right, that doesn't work, right? It's not one tircha anymore. So let's look at the Rishon, and we'll find both. So the Ra'ah says, look, Perish Ra'ah in 8, the Shimu Gad, Zechemin Shakol Govech on Mamash, Ahu Bishen Bo Shevach, Lamashet Sarach Lo Mikom Mokom, La'in Yafa Mechaveng. Says, look, the first stage in the Gemara of cooking has nothing to do with it cooking better. It's mutter because it's Hakol Guf Echad Mamish. It's all one big thing. Right? And he said, Lain yafa kamachafein. Right? When you cook, you don't always cook exactly what you need. Right? You have a recipe, you cook the whole thing, it's one act. Right? You don't, no one likes cooking half a recipe because it's a pain in the neck. Right? You start, or two-thirds of a recipe. Right? Start figuring it out and like, it's just not worth it. Right? Just cook one big pot, freeze some. Right? People do this during the week. It's not just, this is not like some harama. This is how people cook. Says avolefos, but baking ain't ofa cave into have a goof and machlokin. You don't bake extra; it's considered separate acts. Da'aricha va'afia the kol kikar bifnei atzmahu, because each one you have to bake, you have to braid, you have to knead. Ve'ika tircha yisera. It's a whole extra work. Velo tiru mipnei ayin yafes. You can't say that it's mutter because you're just, you know, it's one big thing. You're just being generous when you cook. Kaven she'ein shevach b'mashet tzarachlo. V'gam lo atiru ribui dekedera b'nayin yafel b'kedera achat. Rav Shimon Elazar hit him b'nei ha-shevach v'alachek moto. Says Rav Shimon ben Elazar adds a dimension and says, not only can you cook when it's considered guf echad, you can also cook when it improves the quality of the other things there. And that was what he added. We paskin that way. But if it's neither going to improve the quality, and it's going to be a separate tircha, it would be aser. So obviously, cooking in two separate pots is aser. Because the yesod of the sugya was guf echad shnei gufim, one act, multiple acts. Rav Shimon Elazar added a second dimension, which is only true for bread. Right? But it has nothing to do with cooking, right? Baking in a chami, you're allowed to do multiple acts because it makes it cook better, bake better.
In the bishul part, it would depend on the recipe, though.
Right, on the bishul one, it would... Right.
Depends what you're making. There are things you could do mabashal that are separate acts.
Like correct.
Like meatballs.
Correct. And the and the postgame actually... I don't know if I actually put this. I don't know if I put it... Did I? I hope I did. It might have been Mr. Brewer. I don't know if I put it. If I didn't put it, the postgame actually bring that. And the postgame say, in a chanami, you can't make extra kenedalach. Right? That's what they say. Because the same svara that applies to baking, right? If the svara is that you can't do an extra tircha unless it makes it cook better. Mm-hmm. So an extra matzah ball does not make the pot cook better. And it's an extra tircha. So they say, in a chanami, cook as many matzah balls as you think you need. And that's it. Because that's exactly what they say. Now, it could be it's even the Mishnah Berurah that I put here, but we'll come to it. If not, that's what the post can say. I don't know whether I...
And if you don't eat the broth, what do you do?
So this is on Sukkos. It's on Sukkos. I don't know why you don't eat gebrach, but you know, it's on Sukkos. But I had a friend whose his father and grandfather and uncle were all shamashim to the Rav. Actually, his grandfather just passed away, Rabbi Holzer, Emmanuel Holzer. So his father, Barry Holzer, like my friend's father, Barry Holzer, was also the shamash to the Rav, and they didn't eat kibrachs. So when they got married, his mother complained to the Rav that, you know, my family, we all have matzah balls, like what are we going to eat on Pesach? And the Rav said very sympathetically, cook gebrachs, and if he wants to, he can starve. right? At which point he was matzer neder, and that was the end of that. Okay, the Bach though argues, and the Bach says now. I'm not poskening. I'm just saying what the Rav did. Okay, the Bach though says no. The Bach says no. From Rav Shimon ben Elazar, you learn what the Chachamim were thinking. He says like this: Aval Rabbeinu, at least within the Torah, he thinks this. Rabbeinu Svirulei Daf Tav Shel Mitkun Yoser Kishish Harbe BeKedera. No, the reason that the cooking was mutter is because it makes it cook better. V'chein Kazav Rokeach, V'chein Kazav Rava Magid B'Shem Rashba. V'tzarach Lafaris Ledid Hu Demai Dematar Tanakama B'Tav Shel Yoser V'Paz Anu Dafka Kshnosin Kol Chadichos BeKedera Vazachas. Devechat Tirchav V'Shtei Tirchos. Aser b'tavshel kamo b'past mishum toseves tikkun atavshel b'past lo sharin le'letroch lo fize l'mayit de kaimel and gershim and alazer akol mutter b'en b'tavshel b'en b'past. So he says, right? He thinks that no, everything was about right being cooked better, but he thinks you need both, right? It needs to. He thinks right. This is why I put the Bach. Sorry, the Bach thinks this is the machlokas in the Gemara. Right, that he gufa is the machlokes. The chachamim think it's about tircha achas, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar thinks it's about improving the pas. Nafkamina is could you put it in the pot in two stages? According to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, you could.
Yeah, right.
Right. According to the chachamim, you
can.
Could not. Right, and that's how he explains the machlokes itself in the Gemara. Says the efshar daaf Rashi sover kain di efshar lahachish hamefursam shatavka mishkan yoser, and he thinks that Rashi understood the sugya this way, and again thinks that, but he thinks that according to Rashi, you read the improvement back into the beginning. He says why? Because you can't deny the reality that things get cooked better when you cook a lot. He says that lechad tircha svar again only works for Tanakama. V'loshim ben Elazar kol mutter v'kach efter lefarish ledas shar kol apos. Give him a machal eskira. He svaril b'pas nimshchu achar loshin abraisa. Enochanami dehuah din betavkel misin yosik sheish harbe mutter filu b'shtei tirchos v'chein ikar. Right. So he says this would be the nafkamina, and he says this is the machlokas in the Gemara. Right. Rav Shimon ben Elazar wasn't being mosif to the Chacham, he was arguing in the Chacham. The Chachamim said it was about tircha achas. Rav Shimon Elazar said it was about improving the quality. And therefore, the nafkamina is that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, you can even add it in two stages because it makes it cook better. We don't care about tircha achas l'maskana. We only care about improving the quality of what's cooking. Now, again, what Manny said would still be true, right? If you put something in b'shtei tirchos, which doesn't improve it, it would be aser, right? So kineid alach would be aser l'kol hadeos, unless it, I don't know, does it improve it? I don't think so. That's the assumption, right, that it doesn't improve it. I don't know if that's actually true. I assume it's not, but we can ask somebody. We can ask, we can check. I don't know whether this is true. Okay.
And we're saying that when you're making a pot, it improves when you put it in stages?
Even if you... Right, meaning as long as you're going to continue cooking it, right? Meaning, assuming you're not putting it at the end.
There is some food like that, where, you know.
You know, the more you cook it, meaning, you know, the...
not the more you cook it. We're saying two tirchas. We're
right, right. Meaning
it improves by adding after.
Correct, right? If you were to...
Sometimes you fry stuff and then you put something else.
Right, exactly. Right, you know, you saute the onions and put them in because they have to saute, you know, longer. Then you saute the carrots because they take forever. So, right, and then you put, you know,
according to Chachamim it would be aser.
And then what?
According to Chachamim it would be aser to do that.
According to the Chachamim would be aser. Yeah. Right. According to the Chachamim would be aser. I mean, it's an interesting question, right? What if that's actually the normal way of cooking it, right? But presumably there would be mutter, right? But let's say, right, you didn't have to do it that way. You were just like, you know,
like I'm just trying to think where there would be enough gamina where, like the case you gave, I think the chachamim would also say is permissible.
Which case?
If you had to saute,
right? So presumably the chachamim would say that. Presumably what they wouldn't say, no. Right, what it would be like this, right? Let's say you have
cooking twice and then adding together.
Right, cooking. Right, cooking twice, adding it together, or you know, you have a or like this, right? You have, let's say,
to malacha
or whatever. You know you have. You know, you prepared it before. Let's say, you know, you prepared everything, right? You have all the vegetables cooked and, you know, like chopped, and all of them are sitting there, and you think you want a quart worth of soup, and you throw it all in the pot and you start cooking it, right? So according to the Chachamim, you can't now say, okay, well now I'm going to, you know what, I think I want 2 quarts of, I think, not that I want 2 quarts of soup, I want soup for tomorrow, so I'm going to throw in the other half of the vegetables that I happen to have sitting here. I couldn't do that to the Chachamim, because it's Shtei Tirchos, right? But according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, I actually could, because even though in a Chanami, I already filled the pot with soup, and I actually don't need this, and it's a whole nother Tircha, the fact that in the end of the day it's going to improve the quality of the soup means that even though I don't need it, since it can improve the soup, I could do it. Right? Right? That would be the nafkamina, right? According to Shimon Lozer, I could actually go out of my way and be like, while the pot is cooking, I could say, you know what, I want extra soup left over for tomorrow, so let me just go cut extra, you know, double the recipe and throw it in. I could do that, because in the end of the day, in a chanami, it's shtei tirchos, but it doesn't matter, because since in the end of the day it will improve the quality of the soup, it'll be mutter, right? That would come out. Right? I assume. Right, that would be what it would be for a Shimon Lazar.
Even if you don't need it, then you could do it.
Correct, even if I don't need it.
It's improving.
Right, I could just add for whatever reason. Right. But, you know, even if I was doing it for tomorrow, right, I could do that, right? You know, in my head, if it's doing it tomorrow, we'll see whether you can do that with Pet. Okay, now, there is one case we haven't explained yet. We've explained case 1 and 3. There's the middle case, which is...
The water,
which the Rosh Yosef now summarizes that what comes out of Allah. It says, Nimsa Yishloshadim, there are really 3. Because he said, "Basar afilu mafish b'tircha sharid mashpeich lahalacha." We're paskaling Shimon ben Elazar that we allow for mashbiach. So then, meat or food, you could add even in a second tircha because you have the svar of Shimon ben Elazar. Mayim dafka b'chad tircha the mafish b'shiur ashari. Right? He said, "Water, you have the svara of the chacham, which we didn't lose." Right? According to the Rav Yosef, we have 2 svaras. It's not that, right? Okay, well, we should probably clarify. According to the Rosh Yosef, before the Rosh Yosef, we could have said, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is Mosif, or Rav Shimon ben Elazar is Cholik. Right? Rav Shimon ben Elazar could have said, I only allow it when it improves quality. Or Rav Shimon ben Elazar could say, I even allow it when it improves quality. So, what would the nafkamina be? Mayim. Right? Because if you think it's about Chad Tircha, so then, and everyone agrees to Chad Tircha, and they just Mosif, even when it improves quality, so then, the food you could add, even in, according to the Chachamim in 1 stage, according to Shimon Lazar, even in 2 stages, Mayim, according to everybody, you could only add in 1 stage, and the baking, you could only add according to Shimon ben Elazar, who holds of Shevach and not Tircha Achas.
Right?
If you think Rav Shimon ben Elazar is cholik, so then meat would be mutter according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar because it improves the cooking. Bread would be mutter according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, but mayim, you could only cook what you need. Right? The nafkamina would be the middle case. Does Rav Shimon ben Elazar agree to mayim? Right? If you think he agrees, chad tircha is mutter even if it doesn't improve quality, and improving in quality is mutter even in 2 tirchos, so then mayim is mutter even according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. If you think he thinks, no, I only hold of Sora 2, so then Mayim is totally us according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So the Rosh Yosef paskins that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is not Cholek, he's Mosif. And therefore, what comes out is, meat, you could add even in a second Tircha. Mayim, Dafka Bechad Tircha, because you only have 1 Svara, namely, Tircha Achas, not 2 Tirchos. And bread, upasmin shalahem, shari yivatanar gadol aser, bread is mutter in their ovens, and then as we noted, it might not be true for our ovens, because in our ovens, which are vented, it really makes no difference. In fact, the more you put in there, the worse it is, not the better. And therefore, if you add it to the oven when it isn't going to prove the quality, so then it would be aser. So Rosh Yosef, by this analysis, highlights the question, right? Is Rav Shimon ben Elazar cholek or mosif? By saying he's mosif, what comes out is, again, meat is mutter even but shtei tirchos, as is bread, and mayim only in 1, because case 1 and 3 have the added svar of making it better quality, and case 2 does not. And that would be the nafkamina. Okay, 11 and 12 we saw before, which is the question of whether the bread bakes better because it's less hot or more hot, which is just a technicality. In 13, Right, Meiri just notes that Yeshit Misha Kazav Shalom Nemarkin Ela Bitanurum Shalahem, Shuandigan is Bas Bidafne Tanur, Shemismali Halalo Mismait, Vapas Nefis Yafe, Vaturum Shalanu Lohutar Ela Bichde Mashatarachlo. So Meiri says there are a lot of people who think that this whole halach of the bread thing was only true in their ovens, the lafa ovens, because it made it bake better. But in our ovens, it's no different. And therefore, it's usur to bake extra loaves of bread on Yom Tov. The Meiri says, "Ukvar chakarnu v'davar matzano sh'af b'shalanu apas yafe yosek shatanu malei v'tokach anu matir na'af b'tanir and shaladu hein gadol hein gatan." He said, "But I looked into it in our ovens; it's still mutter." Now, I don't know what ovens he had, but most of the Rishonim had said by their ovens already in the middle, right, the Middle Ages, it didn't help the bread, so it was usur. The Meiri thought in the Middle Ages.
There are certain types of bread.
There are. Like a lafa oven still would be like that, probably.
But even a regular oven, sometimes when you do put one thing, the heat goes much quicker and it goes away. If you put two or three, it's sort of a mellow.
Right.
Even in these
ovens. You're right. There would be some things where you would want to bake it less, and then presumably
right.
It'd still be
much. You have more of a control
right.
Sometimes.
Correct. Right? The post-kim tend to say that it's not such a big difference because in our ovens, it's usually not a difference. If you, I guess you could come up with a case where you wanted to pad the heat.
Right.
Right? You could. You know, I'd have to think of what it is, though. Right? Bread bakes worse if you do that. Right? Because you want it to be balanced heat. The more you put in, the less balanced the heat is. Because, right, the heat is, you know, coming straight from the top and straight from the bottom. And, you know, from the sides is not. So, ours is worse. But the Meiri, by his time, thought that it was still true and others thought it wasn't. Bizman has had the post-com assume that it's really never true. It could be that if you could come up with a Matthias case, it wouldn't be, but that's a Matthias question. Okay, so let's look now at halacha. And how do we paskin? And how do these issues express themselves in halacha? Shulchan Aruch 14. So asr lefos levasha lishchot b'yom tov l'tzarach malchar, filu shabbos yom tov, filu shnei yom shel Rosh Hashanah. Right, you can't cook explicitly for chol or even for Shabbos, but you're allowed to fill a pot with meat, even if you only need one piece. Okay. And the Rama says, "Yeah."
What is the Easter though? Okay. In other words, and I think Al mentioned this before. What are you violating when you cook? Is this Gzeira de Rabbanan that we're talking
so
about?
So according to the Rashba, it's Gzeira de Rabbanan. According to the Ran, it's an Isra de, it would. Well, according to the Rashba, Reb Shimon is only ever de Rabbanan. According to the Ran, it would presumably be midaraisa, right? He thinks the Reba Shirim, meaning the reason Reba Shirim on Yom Tov is mostly mutter is because it's hutra. But in a case where it's not, right, because it's considered cooking for tomorrow, it would be also presumably midaraisa. It would be bishul on Yom Tov, or whatever iser daraisa that is.
I thought hutra makes the malacha actually permissible.
Right, so that's why I noted before from Tosfos and the Avnei Miluim that they think that cooking for tomorrow or for a guy is a new Isser D'Oraisa, right?
A separate Isser D'Oraisa
called cooking for a guy or cooking for tomorrow, right? And presumably the Ran would hold of that, right? That there's some new Isser D'Oraisa because he does in other places say that it's Lo Nemra, so you have to then come to this, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's my guess. He doesn't explicitly say it, but I assume that's what it is. Someone was actually asking me about Ochel Nefesh yesterday. So I was looking. I just sent him my notes, and So I was thinking about it just last night. Okay, and the Ramah just adds, "V'kol shekhen sheyochel lishchot af l'vishin etzarach l'kedayis." As the Gemara will say later on, obviously you're allowed to shecht even if you only need one kedayis, because that's the only way to do it. V'chein yechol, and as we mentioned before, the poskim say that by shechting you're allowed to cook a big animal or a small animal, because there's no such thing as Reb Shirim by nitzilas neshama, because the iser is taking a life, not taking more. Killing more flesh is taking a life. There is no shear. It's one animal dead. So everyone would agree that Reb Shirim is mutter, probably even on Shabbos, right? Because
it's like killing the cow.
Bidyuk, right? Because it's nitzilas neshama. That's the iser. You can even cook many dishes and have a little bit from each. But he says only before eating. But you can't be marim and say after you've finished eating, oh, I need food for tomorrow, so I'm going to cook for tomorrow, but have a kezias. That's not called cooking for today, right? That's called harama, right? That's called finding some excuse. Miuim avro bishla. But he says, now it sounds like this would only be derabanan, right? Because at the end of the day, if you eat it today, it's still mutter. Harama is aser midar. It sounds like they're abundant because it says im avro bishla mutter lachol. But if you did it beharama, so it would still be mutter. So it sounds like it's a derabanan or something like that.
Not a deraisa, like deran and stuff like that, right?
According to Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like, yeah, like it's not deraisa, right? That even harama, right, even where I'm actually cooking for tomorrow and just having a little bit today, even though that's really usur, if I do it, it's still going to be mutter. And then in Beis, memali nachtum chavesh shomayim, afal bishin atzarach likiton echad. You can fill up the water, if you, you know, pot, if you only need one cup. But as we already said, by water, the only svara could be tirchachas, and therefore you're only allowed to put the water on at once. But once the pot is on the water, you can't then come with your, you know, cup and start adding to the pot. You can't do that because the only svara to justify mayim is tirchachas. In 15, he notes that it's mutter. Right, the whole point of Reb Shurim is that even if you actually had in mind for tomorrow, it's still mutter. That's the point, right? Obviously, it's mutter to cook extra today because you think you might need it today and then have for tomorrow. No one's even dealing with that. The chiddush of Reb Shurim, as he just highlights, is that even if I'm intending for tomorrow, that's fine. Because I still need a piece. But the achronim have a caveat. Right, and they say the mikom b'akam tizar shlo tomar befiyah shmevashelish letzarach machar letzarach lila. You shouldn't verbalize it. So the achronim seem to say that it's a zilzul. Right, that's already, even if it's in your head, you're really doing it for tomorrow. You can't. It's like a zilzul yom tov to just say I'm cooking now for tomorrow. Right, that you just don't want to do it.
Discuss it with your wife and like make a plan and talk it out.
Right, right. You want to just, you know, talk it, right? And he says, Mikom, b'di'evet ain't no nesar al yidei. Said that doesn't make it aser, right? It's like a zilzul yom tov thing. It's not like it transforms it now into cooking for chol. It's just like it's pasnished, right? So b'di'evet, it's not a problem. But l'chatchikla, you shouldn't do it. Okay, then in Zion, he just clarifies, when we say that you only need a chaticha, he says, it doesn't matter what you need. It doesn't matter if you need the food, you need the gravy. Doesn't matter. If you need to cook it, you need to cook it. It doesn't matter what it is you need, obviously. Right? At the end of the day, it cooks better. And like Shulchan Aruch, right? If you only need it for tomorrow, and you're going to cook it and just have a kizayis, so Shulchan Aruch said it's aser, but the Mishnah Berurah notes that not everyone agrees to that, because in the end of the day, if you're going to have a little bit today, it's cooking for Yom Tov. So some poskim say, no, even if I actually cook an extra dish for tomorrow and I have a kizayis, that's mutter against Shulchan Aruch. And he says, D'yesh osherin duhu v'chal harama v'yesh matirin kevin shalko banam ochok tas mimena. Some say it's harama and it's azar. Some say, no, it's mutter because at the end of the day, you're having some. V'gamu kodem achila, and it's before eating, k'dlakamei v'olam nagu l'hakel k'deyazu. And he says, we actually paskin l'kula. That as long as you're going to eat, it's fine. Shemavashlan b'shachret zorcha layla. As long as you do it early in the day. V'tomeng tzas man. V'in limchos b'yadam k'yesh l'mamashi yismichu. V'davkum yom te'evchal. Yom tov sheni aval yom tov l'chol yesh le'ezar. But then he adds a caveat. But this is only from yom tov 1 to yom tov. He's like splitting the difference. He's saying, I think it's really mutter. So from yom tov to yom tov, okay. But yom tov l'chol, that's really egregious, so don't do it. Now, Misvara, there's no real reason to do it except that it's pasnished, right? In terms of the Ikra Svara of Reb Shurim, it should be mutter. It sounds like he's just saying, don't do it. Fine. He says, but if you don't do it, you only cook in the same pot, so that's a good thing. Try to be machmer, but mikra din, we don't pasn Shulchan Aruch. And in fact, you're even allowed, as long as it's early enough in the day, you're allowed to cook for tomorrow, for the second day of Yom Tov. As long as you're going to have something, because at the end of the day, the kizayis you had was food for Yom Tov.
Even if you did it in harama,
right? Again, Shulchan Aruch, right? The Mishnah Berurah says, yesh deos, but, and Shulchan Aruch is machmir, but Mishnah Berurah is meikel. He doesn't love it, but he's meikel. And, yeah.
Oh, sorry, going back to Shulchan Aruch for a second. What does he mean when he says, herbeik derot? Okay.
Like more than one pot.
So you can make more than one pot of the same thing on Yom Tov.
No, that's different dishes. Right? Meaning, when he says multiple gederes, that's he's saying like, okay. Yeah, I don't have to worry. You don't have to say, look, I could get away with having, you know, a big heavy stew. But instead, I want, you know, three types of meat and four types of kugels, right? He's just saying you can do that, right? That's totally legitimate. And the Mishnah Berurah in Tazayin just says also lahosiv the lo dami baser shekasav and the siv aleph the mutar of lahosiv achagach the hazam atosev is mashbech. He just clarifies what we said. He says meat you can add even in two terechos because it improves the quality. Water doesn't. He adds one caveat. He says, but if you have like a clay pot, right? But if you need it for the pot, it'd be mutter. Now our pots won't crack, but this is true of our kettles, right? Kettles you have to fill it to the fill line, right? So even if you only need half to the fill line, it's mutter to add to the fill line on Yom Tov because it's flitzorach Yom Tov. The pot will be destroyed otherwise. So that's the nafkamina of what he says, that there would be a nafkamina. Okay. I won't read this inside because I want to finish this today, but there's a machlokas in 16, 17, 18 this was a machlokas remotion in the Shmir Shabbos Gilchos of Neuwirth from Rosh Hashanah Zalman. What about Hotza'ah? Is it usur? Do Riba Shiurim allow me to, their case, was take a whole pack of cigarettes if I only want a cigarette? Right? Do I have to worry, or five cigarettes, right? I'm a chain smoker, but I'm not going to finish 20 cigarettes before I get home, right? Do I have to take out, I have a pack of 20, right? Do I have to take out 15? Or can I say, Riba Shiurim, right? Just take it out. The other question he was asked, which is more lemaisa, is, do I have to take off the keys from my keychain that I don't need today? Right? Or can I, right? When once I have my house key, which I need, do I have to take off my car key? Right? Those are the two shalas that Ramosha was asked. So Ramosha says...
So even on Shabbos, that would take your neighbor, right?
Right, potentially, if you hold, right, yeah, whatever. If you don't, if you hold of an arrow, yes. I never think about this because I don't carry. So on Yom Tov, I think about it. On Shabbos, I have no idea, right? I haven't thought about it in years. But yeah, presumably. Right, so he says, right, just look at it quickly, right?
We have two arrows in Toronto, anyway.
Okay. Okay, so in 16, Ramosha just says, in terms of the cigarettes, so he says that carrying out the whole cigarette pack, he thinks is mutter. He thinks you couldn't add more cigarettes to the pack. Right, but if you have a pack, you don't have to take them out. Because that's basically Riba Shiurim. He said to add extra is Shtei Tirchos. But to take out the whole pack, right, he applies the same svara. To take out the pack as it is, so that's mutter. To add to it is going to be usur.
So the principle applies.
What?
To add to it when you don't need.
Correct. Like if you had a pack of five and you added five, that would be usur. But if you have a pack of 20 and you only need five, you're allowed to take the whole thing out. But you can't then go to another pack. Yeah, you know, I want some extras because I want it for motzei yomtiv, right? You know, I want my motzei yomtiv smoke, so I'm going to add 10 to the pack, right? You can't do that, right? You could take your pack of 20, right? Because it's one tircha, but to have a second tircha would be usur.
You could add if there was a remote possibility you might need them for somebody else.
Correct. That would be fine. And he said the same thing as bringing, you know, a whole thing of yayin or same things like that. Maybe that would be a little bit different. Can you add more yayin to it? Okay. In 17, he said, what about keys? So keys he thinks is usur. And he says, if you look at the second line, he says, "Ani chiloku pashut." Why? The sigariot kol echad mehem hu ra'i lo bazman shlo ye beveso. He says, why is the cigarettes just Riba Shiurim? Because I could smoke them all on Yom Tov if I wanted to. I'm not going to, but in the end of the day, it's Riba Shiurim because it's the same as the pot. I could eat everything on Yom Tov if I wanted to. I'm not going to, but in the end of the day, it's Shayach to the other cigarettes. So it's just Riba Shiurim. But your keys, your car key is definitionally not a Yom Tov thing, so that's a qualitatively different thing. That is Riba Shiurim, because it's something that's not even in the Parsha of Yom Tov, and therefore he thinks it is usur. Right, so Ramosha therefore qualifies it and says that even when we say that Riba Shiurim is mutter when it's Tircha Achas, that's only if it's Tircha Achas plus it's the type of thing which is all Shayach to Yom Tov. But if it's Mufka, it's totally not Yom Tov Dik, then even B'tircha Achas, it's Usur, so your Karki is Usur, even B'tircha Achas. In 18, Shlomo Zalman said, no, it's Mutter. Right? Tircha Achas means it's Mutter, even if it's not Shayach for Yom Tov. You don't have to take your Karki off on Yom Tov, because if you're taking out your Karkis and it's already on with your house keys, it's Tircha Achas. And Ramosha actually said, I saw that Shlomo Zalman thought this should be true according to me, but it's wrong. I think Rav Neuwirth made a mistake. And Rav Neuwirth said, I understand that Rav Moshe thinks I made a mistake, but I think his svara applies even by keys. So at the end of the day, right, Rav Shlomo Zalman, or Rav Neuwirth really, says that even by outside, as long as it's one act, even if it's totally mufka, it's not Yom Tov Dik at all, Tircha Achas is mutter. Moshe says no. Even according to Tircha Achas, it is only mutter if it's also the type of thing which could potentially be Yom Tov. And then just to summarize in 19, Sheyish Boskim of Tiam Rap in term Shalanu, this is just the oven thing. That some people say in our pot, in oven it's mutter. The key.
It depends on the car key.
The car key is not mutter.
What?
It depends on the car key, no?
No, not the electric one, just the, you know, key.
Right, it's not mutter even though it can.
Yeah, because he's saying, I mean, it's just a key. I mean, sure, it opens the car. It's not muksa. It's not litzarach yom tov. So if...
But you can't add the key on.
You can't add the key on, according to everybody, right? Everyone says you can't add it. The question is, if you have a key ring that always has your car key and your house key, you have to take it off. According to Ramosh, you have to take it off because you need tircha achas plus the possibility that shayach to yom tov. Rosh Hashanah Zalman says no. You only need tircha achas, and therefore, if it's on your keys, even though in a chanami it's totally mufka, the electric one different, but your other one would be fine. Okay, in 19 he just brings the issue of the ovens, and he brings up the question that some people think are ovens. It does help. Some people think it doesn't. So he says b'shas l'chak, he thinks you could be mekel even nowadays if you could prove that it was better. Okay, we went a little bit over time, but that's the.